Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being that great God. Thank you for giving us a nation that we've enjoyed this many years, but yet we see eroding before our eyes. God, please help us this morning to hear what the Word of God says through the preaching of the Word of God, so that we can be a help to our country and not a hindrance, so we can help our country and give our children the blessings and the things that we've enjoyed for our many years here. God, work in our hearts and lives today. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him this morning to help us and to help our neighborhoods and our country. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we usually give a humorous attachment to the cell phone turned off to vibrate thing. We'll not do that today. Just to say, turn your cell phone off or to vibrate, please. Help us there today. Also sit and listen very carefully this morning. It is a Memorial Day weekend. Memory. To remember. To be mindful of those who have given their lives for our freedoms, and to be mindful of those who continue to sacrifice for our freedoms. So it's a time to remember, and it's a time to be thoughtful, to think about some things. The book of Deuteronomy in the Bible comes from a Latin word which means Deuteronomos, which means second law. Basically, what Deuteronomy is God repeating everything that's happened before the book of Deuteronomy. And he wanted the nation of Israel to get it again. And basically what he's doing with this book in Deuteronomy is he's saying, now remember this. It's a very greatly repeated word in Deuteronomy, the word remember. Now remember this, and remember what happened here, and remember this and what we did here and what God did there, and remember this event and that event. Israel is about to go into the promised land, and before they do, God wants them to remember some things. Deuteronomy is kind of the Bible's memorial book, as it were. And he repeats a lot of things in here, but he also repeats things with the purpose of reminding God's people before they undertake the great task of the promised land. Remember what I've done here. Remember what happened here, etc. So from Deuteronomy here, at the very beginning of the book, we just read those verses where God reminds them, he reminds Israel why they were a great nation. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I believe on this Memorial Day weekend that it would be good for us to remember some things. There's some things we as Americans should remember. We have a short-term memory, don't we? Things that were so fresh and, boy, we'll never forget that, are so far lost and gone in people's thinking now. And if we're not careful, we'll lack the character to remember certain things, not only as individuals and families and that, but we'll not remember some things as a nation. I believe a lot of things as a nation have been forgotten, our country. It must be for the way people make judgments and decisions, especially among some of our leaders. And I think to myself, did they go to the same history class as I went to? Did they read the same history of this great beloved nation like I have read? And I think to myself, they must have gotten a different history course, or maybe they were absent that day or that year or that life. and didn't pick up on some things. What should we as Americans remember? What are some things that should stand out to us? In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 7, if you'll notice verse 7, "For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for?" You know what we should remember as Americans? That there is a distinct parallel between Israel's founding as a nation and how God brought it into existence in this country. It's a really interesting study. I'll be honest with you, it would behoove you to take some time, spend a little less time in front of the television set and a little more time reading some things about history. Now, of course, you have to be very careful today. History is being rewritten. And they're changing everything about history now to make it politically correct so it fits the mores of society and all those sorts of things. And let's look, ladies and gentlemen, let's be real for a moment. We know America is not a perfect nation. We know we have not, as a nation, always made good judgments and good decisions about the things that we do. But there isn't any question in my mind, and I hope in yours today, that America is yet still the greatest nation on this earth. Now listen, but we did not get here by accident. Just as God's providential hand was upon the forming of the nation of Israel and its existence and continues to bless that nation. Just as God brought that nation into existence, God's hand was very clearly upon the forming of this country. And the fact that America is not here because we were lucky. America is not here because we were fortunate. America is not here because we won a few wars and that kept us free. War was necessary, by the way. But America is here because I believe God designed and desired that this republic would exist. And that's why we have existed to this point. It would behoove Americans to remember that God's hand is upon the forming of this country. It's sad to hear some of our leaders say that America is not a Christian nation. Now, I wouldn't disagree with somebody to say we're not much Christian in the way we act in a lot of people in this country. But to say that America is not a Christian nation is not only foolish, it's wicked. It's to make, I don't know, everything I have read from Washington and Jefferson and Adams and all these people, they seem to have a pretty clear indication that America was formed by God, that the hand, the providential hand of God was definitely upon this country and its existence. How else could a fledgling bunch of little colonies group together, stand against the world's mightiest empire at the time, and obtain their freedoms and liberties while standing against the great British Empire? How could that possibly be but by the providential hand of God? I know we had good military leaders, but believe me, that wasn't the answer. There's a man named McCullough who's written a book, 1776. You should read the book. If you see the exact plan of all the things that took place to the formation of this country, there's nothing but one conclusion, and that is this. God desired that this country exists. Now that's a proven historical fact. But the truth is, now after all of these years, it seems like so many have completely forgotten that. Like it's not even mentioned anymore. All we're concerned about is putting God on our money. We don't want to put God in our homes. We don't want to put God in our schools. We don't want to put God in our government, and God knows they need it. We want to put God in all these other things. We want to dismiss Him from this stuff. Listen, I'm an advocate of the separation of state and church. I said it right. State and church. I want the government out of our churches. Leave our churches alone and let them do what they're supposed to do. But nobody with any sense wants to dismiss God from our church and our nation and our government. There was a time when Congress got on their knees and actually prayed to God. Instead of some dude up there, or man or woman, reading a prayer before the Congress, they actually got on their knees and prayed together and begged the providential hand of God for the forming of this country. I don't understand how that has been forgotten. I don't understand why we decided we need to leave that out. I'm sorry, I don't care if Muslims are offended by that. I don't care if other religions are offended by that. They're welcome to come to America. This is a great nation of freedom and liberty, which you don't get in their countries, by the way. But you know what's interesting? I'm not concerned about offending somebody. Somebody who is a Buddhist or a Hindu. I'm not concerned about that to say that America is a nation founded by the God of the Bible. We need to keep that in our minds. We need to put in our thinking, we need to remember this, that God's providential hand is on the forming of this country. That we wouldn't have an America if it wasn't for God. Our forefathers remember that. Our forefathers knew it. Some have forgotten it. But how about you? There's some things Americans should remember. That God's hand is on this country. Number two, God's word framed the liberties and freedoms that we enjoy. Look at verse number 8. After he said, what nation is there so great in verse 8? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? He was talking about the Bible. He said, well, that was for the nation of Israel. Oh, if you know anything about your history in this nation, you know that the Word of God is very important to framing the Constitution of the United States of America and our Bill of Rights. You know something, ladies and gentlemen, those things don't just happen because intelligent men sit down and write up documents and get things framed and put together. Do you realize how important it is? Just example, Thomas Jefferson used to go to a little Baptist church near his house. And he would go there on a Wednesday night, or midweek type service, as it were, for Bible study. Now, Jefferson wasn't a Baptist. He's a deist. That to say that all these forefathers were Bible-believing, God-fearing Christians is stretching it a bit. Benjamin Franklin was not a Bible-believing, God-fearing man. He was a partying fool and went to Paris and partied like an animal. Thomas Jefferson was not a Christian man by salvation, as far as we can tell. But he went to this Baptist church near his home for a midweek Bible study. And in that service, he saw a Baptist church conduct a business meeting. He learned two things from that. And number one, he learned one man, one vote. He saw that how in a Baptist church that's run biblically, the church members vote on what the church does. And each person who's a member of that church voted on the direction, on the expenditures and the work of that church. Number two, it was a Baptist business meeting. And he saw them arguing with each other, and that's where he got the idea for the Revolutionary War. No, that's just kidding. But the truth of the matter is, he got the concept of that. He got the understanding. See, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. The idea of having freedoms in a nation does not come from false religion. It comes from the religion of the Word of God. Teaching people about individual and personal responsibilities, allowing people to worship God according to what the Word of God would teach. Those principles come from the Bible. And these men, Jefferson and these men who helped to frame the Constitution and more importantly the Bill of Rights, these men got their understanding from the Word of God about what a nation should be and how it should conduct itself. Because, ladies and gentlemen, besides this book, the Word of God, the greatest human document on this planet, and this is not a human document, this is the inspired Word of God, the greatest human document on this planet is the Constitution and Bill of Rights of this country. Simple, clear, but definite about how it guarantees liberties and freedoms for responsible citizens. You know where they got the concept? From the parables of Jesus. We talked about how a master went away. Before he left to his servants' responsibilities. 5, 2, and 1 talents, which is not abilities, is money. And left to them the responsibilities of vineyards, etc. Now he went away and came back and examined what they had done with what they had received. The concept of a responsible citizen who lives in a nation there for the benefit of that nation. To help that nation do its job. Not for the nation to take care of them, but for them to take care of their country. The whole concept of this thing. The whole idea that we give a man freedom and liberties to live by his conscience in the direction of the Almighty God of heaven. The whole concept of that came from the Word of God. Hey, they don't use the Bible in communist nations. Do you know why? Because it destroys communism and socialism. And the idea that what you have is yours and what I have is yours and what you have is mine and what I have is mine. And what we all have is everybody else's and nobody has anything. That's garbage, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't come from the Bible. See, we need to remember something. That the Word of God helped to frame the basic principles and tenets of our liberties and freedoms as a nation. They were men who put this thing together, this great republic that we have. They put this whole idea together with the understanding that they were going to follow biblical principles in what they did and how they did it. Now, I'm going to say it again. They weren't perfect at what they did. We're not perfect at what we do. America's not a perfect nation. But I'll tell you this. When America follows the Bible, their hand of God is evident there. And there's order, and there's decent, and there's citizens who actually follow the principles of things that are moral, decent, and right. It would be good for us to remember this. Just recently, we saw the president telling the nation of Israel they needed to pull their borders back to the 1967 levels before they took some land that was theirs and took it back. Our president does not understand the Bible. Doesn't believe it, number one. Number two, he doesn't understand the Bible. He would never make a statement like that. First of all, if they have to give back that land, then we have to give Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas back to Mexico. And then we have to give the eastern seaboard back to England because we took that away from them too. And then while we're at it, let's just take everything else in the middle and give it back to the Indians because we took it away from them. So when we're done, we all have to leave because we took this land. There's no question about that. With the exception of a good chunk of the Louisiana Purchase, we took the rest of it. And the truth of the matter is, see, the concept, the idea, our president does not understand the land of God's people, the Israel, and their nation, and the land of promise given to that nation. If he understood that, he wouldn't make a statement like that, wouldn't do things like that. When we have leaders who do not follow the word of God, we have leaders who follow what looks good. I don't think we ought to be out there trying to appease a bunch of terrorists and make them happy at what we do. That's insane. Now, let me say this morning. Let's give the president his props for what he did in getting rid of Osama bin Laden. Tell you what, I'm glad he breached the sovereign soil of a country we pumped billions of dollars into while a known terrorist who wanted to destroy us lived openly and in public. I'm glad he breached the soil and took him in there and took that vermin off this earth. That's a good thing. That's the way you protect your country wherever you go and whatever you do. They come after us, we'll go get them no matter where they are. We've had a few presidents who believe that. I'm thankful for this president's decision in that area. Didn't get many amens on that one. The guy does something right. He did one. Then give him credit, okay? Understand that, please. But when we have leaders, and not just our president, but when we have leaders, ladies and gentlemen, who decide, well, let's just understand that marriages could be anybody, a man, a woman, and a woman, a guy and his dog. You marry your trash can, and say, well, they don't believe that. Well, of course not yet. They didn't say that 25, 30 years ago. Now, listen, you don't leave marriage like God left it. You're going to have people out there wanting to marry a mannequin. Say, oh, come on, Pastor John. That's what we told you back yonder when this issue about husband and wife marriage thing. You let them destroy the sanctity of marriage the way God made it. And God made it, man and woman, male and female, created he them, not Adam and Steve, Adam and Eve. It's the way God made them. And he put them together. You mess with that now and you throw the doors open to anything. Guy will be out there marrying his Ford. Might as well, he pushes it around town all day long. Anyway, the point is, I'm sorry. Don't you understand what happens? Look at me. Don't you understand what happens when a nation gets away from following God's word and the principles of the Bible? It doesn't make us intolerant, ladies and gentlemen. It gives us a principle, a standard by which we live, and a foundation upon which we can stand. Otherwise, everything's up for grabs. Now right is right and wrong is wrong. No, now right is wrong, wrong is right, and anything in the middle works too. It's insane. That cannot function this way. We need to remember something. We need to remember that God's word framed the liberties and freedoms of our country. Oh, you know what else we should remember as Americans? Look at verse number 9. Only take heed to thyself. And keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You know, we need to remember as Americans that how each and every one of us live our lives affects what our nation is or is not. Only keep thy soul diligently, he said. How easy it is to pick on the president and Congress and the leaders of our country and point out their failures, flaws, mistakes, foolishness, stupidity, and all the rest of the things these people do when they make their mistakes. But America, ladies and gentlemen, is not comprised of 300 or 400 people who sit in a building somewhere, record the minutes while they waste the hours. America is comprised of 300 plus million people in this nation who every day either get up and do their part to help their country or they do their part to help tear it down, one or the other. Look where we are in this situation with the entitlements in our nation. Got to do something. We're bankrupt in our country. But everybody wants someone to do something about it except don't mess with mine. Don't get my entitlement. Don't take anything from that. Don't reduce that. Don't cut that back. Don't do this. Don't do that. And we can argue about waste and everything else if you want to. Listen to me. But the truth of the matter is, if that's what it took to fix America, to help us financially, if it took it to take some money away from me to help my nation, would be willing to do that? See, that's the problem. We want everybody else to sacrifice, but not us. We want everybody else to give up something, but not us. We want everybody else to take away from those guys, these guys, and those guys. But leave me alone and keep giving me mine. Now, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. But the truth of the matter is, we got this thing all wrong. Now, folks, listen to me. But leave the political realm and the money matter out of it. How about this? How about the fact that 78% of Americans today between the age of 18 and 25 live together before they get married? 78%. And in the high 60% of people who profess to be Christians. I guess what we really need to do is not fix Congress. We need people who say, I believe in marriage, to go ahead and get married then. Voting for marriage to be a man and a wife and then shacking up. There's no sense in that. Is this working? All right, I'm just checking something here. Yeah. We talk about how the government steals from us. That's why they don't want the Ten Commandments up in Congress. Thou shalt not steal. They don't like that up there. So we think, oh, yeah, that's some stinking congressman. That's what they do. Then you go into business somewhere, buy something, and they only charge you for two of the three items, and you walk out and just take the other one because you think it's Christmas. Look at me. Do you understand? He said, keep thy soul diligently. Mike Johnson cannot fix America by himself, but Mike Johnson can be what's right about this country, and that's me doing my part to help fix this country. Now, you can do that, and I can do that. Look here, it doesn't make any difference if we just, look, you're going to get in the crowd, walk the crowd. Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the path that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You can get in that bunch and go on down with them while we gripe about the country all the way down. While we are doing what's wrong with America. Why we cheat, we're lying, we're stealing, we're immoral, we're wicked in the way we live our lives. We don't conduct ourselves the way we're supposed to. We treat God's word, God's will, God's way like it's optional instead of required in our lives. And we got Sunday morning Christians who pop in, pop out, do their thing, live their life, do what they want to do, and wonder why we can't turn America around. Well, you can't do it sitting in front of a television set. So what we do then is we create churches that ask nothing of people, expect nothing from people. Bring them to church as nothing but stinking playgrounds now. You walk in the lobby and it's a coffee shop. The whole thing's set up like a movie theater. You sit around entertaining folks and then send them up home to their life and the way that they live. Send them off to the champagne and scrambled eggs on church after church on Sunday morning, bowing their heads with booze on their table, thanking God for the bounty and blessing of that which is Satan's poison that's destroying this nation. See, that's the issue. The issue is this. It's not what does America do, it's what do I do for my country. If you do your part, then you're part of what's right. You take, consider diligently your soul, the Bible says. Are you a saved person and are you sure? Do you know that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you have salvation and eternal life? Because here's what that means. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And we could use some new creatures. I've seen some creatures, but we need some new ones. I stood in the store and flipped a coin trying to figure out what was standing in front of me, whether it was a man or a woman. Tails, you're a girl. Okay, there we go. I've seen some creatures. We need new creatures. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't you see, friend? Salvation changes the soul, the life of the individual. Do you know Christ as your Savior and are you sure? Number two, child of God, are you salt and light? The Bible says you're the salt of the earth. Now, here's the sad testimony of the whole thing. America is not messed up because of liberals. America is messed up because Christians are not salt. Frankly, if you really check it out, there's not that many liberals anyhow. There's a bunch of big mouth liberals, a bunch of big mouth conservative right wings, nuts like me. And in between, listen to me, there's a silent majority who do nothing. Man on the street was asked, do you think America's biggest problem is ignorance and apathy? His response is, I don't know and I don't care. Look at me. Got a whole bunch of silent Christians right there in the middle of this thing. People who have better sense but won't do anything about it. Decide, well, that's what they're doing, that's what I'll do. They honestly believe that how people live on TV is how people actually live. Most of them don't even live like people. They live like animals. Why you would even want to adhere to that is beyond my wildest comprehension. But don't believe Hollywood and a bunch. They have no idea what life is. And it's acting, people, which for some of them is not a reach. In the middle, right here, is a whole bunch of people who are doing nothing. And you know what's happened? The salt has lost its savor. And it is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. And that's what they're doing. They're walking on us. But not because we don't stand up. Not because we're not tolerant enough. You tolerate that kind of stuff. Frankly, we've got homegrown terrorists in our nation. I'm not talking about Muslim cells. I'm talking about people who are out to try and change everything about this country to their liking and change it the way they want it. And the trouble is, we've got folks who are just going to sit back and go, oh, okay. So that's why we need politically active groups, Pastor Johnson. No, that's why we need Christians acting like salt. Flavoring things in your life, preserving from corruption. And don't go shaking your salt on anybody else until you have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. And then there's light that dispels darkness. You're the light of the world. See, Christian, I can't fix 300 plus million Americans. And I can't fix a nation that breaks my heart. And I love my country. But I can pay my debts and be honest. I can go to work. I can do the honorable and the right thing, even if nobody else does. And there are a bunch of people who do, by the way. I can do what's right. And by so doing, I can do my part for my country. And at the very least of it, we are part of what's right about America instead of a part of what's wrong about this country. Take heed to thy soul diligently, lest you forget. Last thing is this. And then what does he say at the end of that verse, please? Look at verse number 9. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Do you realize somebody's teaching our young people today? Someone is. Someone's teaching your children and your grandchildren. Someone's teaching them what to believe. You better get this passive stuff out of your mind. Well, I want to let them make up their mind. The world will never let them do that. The devil will never let them do that. Sin will never let them make up their own mind. That fleshly, carnal, worldly stuff, that's aggressive stuff. It's after us. And the way you dispel it is not attack the wickedness. You teach them what's right. Our responsibility is teach it to your sons and your sons' sons. This generation, the next generation, if we don't pass on the principles and truths of the Word of God, the Word of God will continue, but the principles will die with us. I was blessed to be raised by my grandparents for a good portion of my life. I got that second generation removed stuff from that Depression era generation who this, frankly, was the backbone of this nation for so long. People don't just figure out morality on their own. They don't figure out honesty by themselves. Someone has to teach them that. And that's our responsibility. That's why you don't send your children to public school. That's why you don't feed them to the world. That's why you don't plop them in front of a television set and let them watch this junk. That's why you don't feed them to the world and expect them to not act like the world. What do you want? Do you want your children to have heroes like Lincoln and Jefferson and Washington or Britney Spears and Lady Gaga? More like Lady Gag Gag. Well, what are you going to do? But what are you going to do? See, it's your job to teach them this. It's our responsibility to pass it on. I'll promise you this, by the grace of God, while this preacher has sense, Shasta Baptist Church is going to continue to teach and preach God's Word as the principle and the foundation of what we do here. Your kids will get more Bible in the nursery here than they will in the average place in this city. But that's all right. We don't apologize for that one either. We're good with that. We may not impress you with our programs and our stuff and our show and our program, but I guarantee you this, you come here, you'll hear the Word of God taught and preached. Sunday in, Sunday out, Wednesday in, Wednesday out, you'll get, the kids will get that in Sunday school. We have a Christian school, you can put your children in there. Lowest tuition in this city is that Christian school right here, our Christian school. It's not a business, it's a ministry. And they'll get an excellent education. They'll actually learn something that will help them in their lives. Now, see, our job is to teach. We can't expect it to just happen, that it trickles down to our kids. We're supposed to take our responsibility, embrace it, live it, and then teach it to the next generation. That's what we as Americans should remember. It's up to each of us to be what's right about this country. Take diligent heed to your soul. Let's stand together, please, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed.